Last week we started a series on the birth of Christ. There are a lot of things that you have to examine when you talk about the birth of Christ, because there's a whole bunch of Old Testament prophecies that happened. God had this plan. And last week we talked about Zacharias and Elizabeth, two faithful people living ordinary lives on an ordinary day, and got an extraordinary message from God that they were going to have a child. And they were too old to have kids. But nothing's too hard for God. Amen. With man, these things are not possible. With God, nothing is impossible. With God, all things are possible. Well, as this story unfolds, we see that in the case of Zacharias and Elizabeth, when Zacharias was doing the incense in the temple, he met an angel. And today we're going to talk about three times that angels meet people concerning the birth of Christ. The title of my sermon this morning is Fear Not. Fear Not. We actually have three passages that we're going to look at. We're going to start looking at Luke chapter 1, verse 30. And that talks about a message that was given to Mary. Then we'll look at Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, which is the message that was given to Joseph. And then we're going to look at Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14, which was the message that was given to the shepherds at night. So we're going to cover a lot of things today about the birth of Christ. But in each one of these passages, there's a commandment to fear not. Each one of these passages talk about things that we could actually be fearful of, and how God can assuage our fear. But before we start this morning, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for what this season represents. But Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would just pervade this place today, Lord, and change our lives. Help us, Lord, to be attentive, Lord, bind Satan on our behalf. Father, help us to leave this place, Lord, be more like you. Help us, Lord, not to fear. Help us, Lord, to do. Help us, Lord, to live for you, to trust in you, to worship you, to glorify you, to do all things for you. We thank you. I thank you for each one that's here today, Lord. Each one that's listening on the internet or listening in the future. Lord, I just ask that you would bless them and that we would follow your truth. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Last week we talked about God's prophetic timeline and how at times God's prophecies come very quickly, and they come true and they're fulfilled very quickly. Sometimes it seems that they're very slow. But that doesn't mean that we should not stop watching, as we talked last week. You know, there's been 400 years of silence between the Old Testament and the beginning of the New Testament. And sometimes when we hear about things that will happen in the future and then they don't happen on our timetable, we think that it's really not going to happen in the first place. And sometimes the prophets, the words of the prophets must have seemed vain to the true believers at that day. You know, John on the Isle of Patmos, when he got the visions of end times, he says at the end, when Christ says, "Behold, I come quickly." And John says, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." The faithful will be watching. The faithful will be looking. The faithful need to stay faithful when things don't seem to be going on what we think the timeline should be. Christ is coming back.
Amen.
That timeline is set in motion. We need to be faithful. We need to be watching. We need to be waiting. We need to be doing the things that God wants us to do. As we went through the birth of John the Baptist last week, Things are starting to accelerate. These are all things happening very quickly now. And there's angels going on special assignment to talk to each one with this message of fearing not. John the Baptist is to be born. There's other miracles happening. But before we start, we need to acknowledge that we all have fears. There's things that bother us. There's things that concern us. There are things that are bigger than us. Those things we need to take to God. The Bible says, be careful for nothing. The Bible says, trust in Him. The Bible says all these things that He knows the intents of our heart. We are not immune to fear. Paul, probably the greatest apostle, the greatest missionary of all time, had fears. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5, it says, he's writing to them and he says, for when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Do you have troubles in your life today? That's part of being human. He says, without were fightings. Do you have threats outside your life today? There are things that are going against you today. It's part of being human. Within were what? Fears. So we all have fears. Even the best of us have fears. You know, some of our fears are valid. Some are misapplied or misplaced. But we all have fears. You know, there are four basic things that we all fear. Things that we fear. The first one is we all fear of failing. That's really an issue of pride at times. I just don't want to look bad. Or I don't think I can do it. Or I don't want to do that. You know what's in there? I. See, God gives us the ability to do all things. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. If we have fear of failure, it could paralyze us that we will do nothing. And then we will definitely fail. A lot of people have fear of the unknown. I know this. I know Christ is coming back. I don't know when. I don't worry about what man can do to me because I know God. You know, Paul here was in Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. And in this passage here, he had tried to go from place to place in Turkey, and the Holy Spirit said, no, no, no. And then all of a sudden, he gets a vision of a man in Macedonia and said, come over here and help us. Someplace he'd never been before. Christ wants you to go out in faith to places you've never been before. Do things that you never thought possible before. But a lot of people were paralyzed by the unknown, said, I don't know what this is, and I don't want to do it. That leads to failure. You know, we all have threats. There are physical threats. If a lion came through the door, we would all perceive that lion as a what? Physical threat. We'd all be running. And we just don't want to be the slowest one, right? But the issue is that we all have things that physically cause fear. Over the last years, we've had things that cause emotional stress, an emotional threat. We've had problems with financial threats. That I'm always coming up on my first year of retirement, living on my retirement pay. And that's been interesting. As I see inflation just whittle that away. But God's faithful. Amen. But some people are terrorized by that. And they're fearful. Do I have enough? With God, you have all you need.
Amen.
With God, you have all you need. There are all sorts of threats. We have threats in relationship. Will he like me? Will she like me? What do they think of me? And then there's the threat of the unexpected. When we think we have it all planned out, we think that we're going the right way, and then all of a sudden, something comes in our life that changes it. And people just don't like to do anything because they don't want change. And that's what we're going to start with this morning. So in our first passage, in Luke chapter 1, verse 30, the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." If you go up a couple of verses, in verse 28 of this it says, "And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored." She wasn't expecting an angel on that day. He wasn't expecting the messenger of God on that day. And all of a sudden in her ordinary life, here it comes. Something unexpected. "The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." Verse 29 says, "And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation or welcome or greeting this should be." And then we get to verse 30. See, God knows what's going on. God knows how we're going to react. And God's going to make a way to deal with it. And so he sends the angel, and he says, and the angel's message is what? Fear not. Fear not. So Mary represents the fear of the unexpected. The message to her was to fear not. There are so many times when God appears or God's agent appears that there's a fear not in there. Because we don't expect it. As we saw with Zacharias and Elizabeth, they were just doing ordinary things in the temple on an ordinary day, and then something extraordinary happened to them. Up to this time, Mary's life was very normal. She's not old like the two that we talked about last week. Here we have a young Jewish teenager. And thinking culturally correct at there, not what the world thinks about today. He is thinking about getting married, having a kid, having a future with Joseph. She had all those things and all those dreams. You know, when we're teenagers, we have all these dreams of what we want happening. But I want to exhort you all and encourage you all that keep God in your dreams. Keep God in your actions. And what Mary did was that she kept herself right with God. She kept herself right with God. He says here in verse 28, he says, "The Lord is with thee." See, God's not with you if you're not with him. And because of that, she is highly favored. She was engaged to Joseph. She was anticipating marriage. I'm sure, like we all do when we get ready for that day, that there's a lot of preparation, and those preparations were ongoing. And then all of a sudden, this happens. This happens. And then she gets troubled at his saying. She didn't understand at first. Are we willing to do whatever God asks us to do? She was troubled at the greeting. She was surprised at what was going to happen next. And basically in verse 31, "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb." Wait a second. This is not going to work out quite right. This is not what I had planned. "And shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. "And And verse 34, then said Mary unto this angel, how can this happen? Well, should have talked to Elizabeth. How can this happen? How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Her faithfulness to her vow, her faithfulness to her Lord. She's troubled at this. She's troubled at this. You know, it's easy to panic when the unexpected happens. It's easy to go off the deep end when all of a sudden we see our plans in jeopardy. You know, it's easy to get anxious when something comes in and stops what we're doing right now and it interrupts this. You know, there are certain times that when the phone rings in the middle of the night, I'm fearful. I don't know what's going to happen on the other side. Or you get the letter from the tax assessor. You go, ah! And I don't know what's going on there. There's a lot of fear when we get something that's unexpected. But God's told Mary through the angel, fear not, Mary. I've got you. I've got you. But what good news the angel brought that day. Here's the first thing. She was told that she had favor with God. Boy, what an encouragement. Folks, this morning I want to tell you, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have favor with God. Amen. You have the Holy Spirit. You have all the things that God will give you for life and godliness. You're precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of where we know the song. We're favored with God. And when God comes and He starts spreading the unexpected in our life, He's going to tell us what our standing is with Him. She had favor with God. That is in itself an encouragement. You know, a lot of times we wonder, well, am I doing okay? There are a lot of us that just keep on asking. We want that affirmation, right? We want that affirmation. Did I do all right? How did I do on the test? How did you do on the test? How did you... Just do your best. That's the issue. Obviously, Mary had done her best. Mary had been faithful. And she had found favor. She had found the favor of God. And here's the point. She's an ordinary person, doing ordinary things, having ordinary dreams, but she kept God in her dreams. She kept God in her life. And she finds God's favor. And when you find God's favor, good things are going to happen. Good things are going to happen because of our faith. She's going to be part of the biggest miracle in eternity. We're just not talking about mankind's history. We're not talking about the earth's history. We're talking about total history. She's a central figure in bringing about salvation. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, about all these things that God moves slow in, there were faithful people that were watching. And it says here in 1 Peter 1:10, it says, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. Oh, folks, it's possible that we could be the answer for someone who's searching diligently for God. Well, I'm just an ordinary person. No, you're special in God's eyes. You're favored. You're empowered by Him. You can do all these things. Of which salvation the prophets had inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Says here, He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto Him the throne of His father David. Wow. That's the Messiah. That's the Messiah. She's going to fulfill our scripture memory verse. Isaiah 7:14. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and shall bring forth a son. And shall call His name Emmanuel. Oh, what would have happened if Mary had said, nope, not me. You know the story, right? She says, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord." How many times do we have the unexpected come in our life? Say, "Nope, not me." We can't be like that. We need to understand we have God's favor. So there's the fear of the unexpected. In Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, being her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily." That's what he thought on. "But as he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him." Boy, wouldn't it be nice if we just do what God tells us to do? Things would be a whole lot better. Okay? "Did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus." Mary knew what was going to happen, because Joseph thought the same thing. What would people think? Jesus is called the son of fornication by the religious leaders of the day. He was called illegitimate. And Mary was going to have to do that. But she said, "I'm not going to fear this. I'm not going to fear this." See, with Joseph, it's the fear of personal loss. Here's the point. Joseph had a dream of a future with Mary. He had proposed to her. He was doing all the preparations for her. This is how they're going to spend their life together. And then all of a sudden, those dreams were dashed. Have we ever come to that point in our life where we thought we put our effort in something, and then all of a sudden it just falls apart? How do you react to that? Some people react with fear. You know, his dreams were shattered. All his plans were gone. He thought that he was going to have to lose Mary. But see, with Christ, you don't lose anything. You don't lose anything. You know, those are real fears. And oh, when it gets into our family and relationships inside our family, that makes us very fearful. It's interesting to know that in the scripture, Mary was fearful of the greeting of the angel. Zacharias was fearful about the presence of the angel in the temple. Joseph was not fearful of the angel. He was fearful of the loss, because God knew what he was thinking. He was minded to put her away privily. And while he thought on these things, God intervened and said, "Wait a second. Wait a second. Don't worry about this. I've got you. I've got you." The angel didn't concern him. In fact, the angel helped him. Because what was the message? "Fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the" what? "Holy Ghost." No, Joseph was just afraid that he lost the relationship with Mary. He thought that the future with Mary was going to be gone forever. You know, we may fear personal loss. We may fear loss of money, loss of health, loss of home, loss of reputation. But the issue is this: fearing loss can hold back blessing. You know, Joseph had everything to do. He had every right to put Mary away. He had the ability to do that. But he chose mercy and grace in place of that. Just like Christ shows us mercy and grace. And he says, I'm going to put everything that I have on hold so I can see God work on this. And then the danger, and the angel says, look, she's going to be your wife. She's going to be your wife. It didn't hold back anything. Oh, folks, don't let fear hold back your love or your risk to love someone. Don't let fear hold back your risk to invest your resources and your time into doing something for God. Don't let fear hold you back in risking your life for Christ. When Zacharias and Elizabeth had a prayer for a baby, they got the baby. They met an angel. He was the forerunner of Christ. He's going to bring revival. He brought joy to all their neighbors. He took away reproach of men. He took away all the stuff happened in their lives. And the same thing happened with Joseph. Joseph would not lose Mary and would gain so much more. So much more. He's going to be the stepdad of Jesus. Can you imagine what an awesome responsibility that was? We sit there, we kind of think about it and say, you've been entrusted with the stewardship of raising the baby Jesus. Wow. That's an incredible thing. See, the issue is Joseph was concerned about putting Mary away, but then God came in and intervened and said, nope, that's not going to happen. Here's what happens. Don't fear when God changes your plans. Don't fear when you lose something your way. God's got bigger things in mind. Jesus told the crowd in Matthew chapter 19, verse 29, it says, and everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or hands for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. We hear about missionaries, about converting someone who in a Muslim country where that person is excommunicated from their family. I read a whole bunch of missionary letters this week about people who are fearful of that. Let God take care of it. Let God take care of it. And Joseph didn't lose Mary. He didn't lose anything. He got a whole bunch more. He probably got special reward in heaven. So we see the fear of personal loss, but God says, fear not. Fear not, I got you. You're not going to lose what was intended in the first place. You're honoring God. Mary's honoring God. We're going to let you honor God together. But let us do it in God's timing, in God's way. In Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14, it says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field. Now we go and we fast forward to after the birth of Christ, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which should be to what? All people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, good will to men. Some people fear meeting God. Mary feared the unexpected. I don't understand how this could happen, but God, you got it. Joseph experienced the fear of losing his mate. This relationship. God said, I've got it. The shepherds, middle of night, big light. Ah! Fear meeting God. It said they were sore afraid. And they say, fear not. God knows where you are today. They were fearful because of the glory of God. And many have shared that fear in all. And we need to respect and fear the glory of God. Abraham, in chapter 14 of Genesis, it talks about him having a horrible dream, a horror in his dream. And then he does a sacrifice and he sees God walk through the sacrifice and make a covenant. And in verse 1 of chapter 15, it says, "And after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision and said, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." See, God will take away your fear. Even when you're scared to death what you just saw. Job has all these things. We know about it. We went through the whole study, the whole book. Had friends that didn't weren't much friends. And Job keeps on answering truth with their lies. And then in the end, Job becomes self-righteous and God comes and appears to him in a whirlwind. And then God says, Job, answer me this. Answer me this. Answer. Where were you? Where were you when all this happened? Where were you? Where were you? Where were you? Where were you? There's two chapters of it. And then verse 5 of chapter 40, Job says, okay, enough. He says, behold, I am vile. You win, Lord. You know, sometimes we just need to let God win. Stop fighting. What shall I answer thee? I can't answer any of the questions you asked. I wasn't there at creation. I wasn't there when you made all the animals. I wasn't there in the sea. I wasn't there. What shall I answer? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. I'll shut up and be quiet and listen. Be still and know that I am God. So he sees the glory of God in the whirlwind. It causes him to understand his condition. Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6, he sees the Lord high and lifted up. He sees heaven. He sees the seraphims, the cherubims, all those creatures are glorifying God and praising Him. He says the white holy of God, because it's all pure. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Folks, meeting God in His glory will cause you to get right. Meeting God in His glory should cause us to fear, to see if we are right. Peter, out fishing. God says, look, cast your net over here, bring in the fish. And all of a sudden, there's this, all these fish. And Peter says, uh-oh, it's Jesus. In verse 5, it says, when Simon Peter saw, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Oh, I cringe when I hear people say they stood up to God. No, you can't stand up. No one can see the face of God and live. We may fear meeting God. Hebrews 10 verse 31 says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But remember what the angel said in Luke chapter 2. It says, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, for the Savior is born. The Messiah is here. The waiting is over. All those things have happened. You need to go look. And folks, that's what we need today. We need to understand there's good news today. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Amen.
See, God could take away all your fear today. If you're fearful about meeting God in the next life, in eternity, you need a right relationship with Christ today. Abram got right. Job got right. Isaiah got right. Peter got right. He had some issues afterwards, but he got right. And they all became effective for God. Joseph took away his fear and got everything that he thought he was going to lose and got it all back. Mary took away her, I don't understand this. This is unexpected to me. I don't understand how this is going to work, but got everything that God had promised her. And so, so much more. See, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, we talked about this at the men's prayer breakfast yesterday. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. John writes in 1 John chapter 4, he says, But perfect fear casteth out love. Okay? No. Okay. Perfect love casteth out fear. Yeah, I got it backwards. Everybody with this? At least you're paying attention. Okay? Okay? But perfect love casteth out fear. For there is no fear in love, because fear hath torment. And God doesn't want us to have torment. He wants us to have life more abundantly. Joy unspeakable and all those things. For God had not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Oh, folks, this morning, if you're fearful of the unexpected, give it to God. If you're fearful about losing something, give it to God. You know, Paul said, I count all things but lost before the excellency of knowing Him. If you're fearful of meeting God, get right with Him today. Amen? If you don't know Him as your Savior, today you can know that. We have a verse of invitation. This is your time to make a decision for God. If you don't know Him as your Savior, come forward and we'll show you from God's Word how you can get saved and get forgiveness of sins and get home in heaven. If you're not right, come forward and pray and tell God. Make a public commitment that I'm going to do the right thing. If you're searching for a church home, come today and unite with us as we serve God together. Amen? Let's all stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this day, Lord. We thank You for this opportunity, Lord, to share Your Word. Father, help Your Word to work in our lives, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You have